Well, I don't have my little mannequin here today to dress in the armor, so I'll just hang it on the stand there. But the next piece that we're going to look at is the breastplate of righteousness. And so basically it's just in that verse 14 of chapter 6, and it says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth," and we looked at that last week, "and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." So there's a verse that we looked at some weeks ago. It's Ephesians 4:24, and this is what it says. So we're going to revisit this verse. "Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So we'll come back to that at the end of this, but just remember that, the Ephesians 4:24, because it has something to do with what we're talking about today. So whose righteousness are we to put on? Jesus, yeah. According to which verse? Which one do you want to choose? Yeah, that's good. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He made him," Jesus, "who knew no sin." And when you have no sin, what are you called? Holy. Thank you, Rose. All right. Right on there. "He made him," Jesus, "who knew no sin, holy, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Do you see? Holy and righteousness, again, same thing with Ephesians 4:24, righteousness and true holiness. So there's something cooking on that, isn't there? So the breastplate actually was two pieces. There was a front and a back, and it was held together with brass rings on the top of the shoulders. And it was the heaviest piece of all the armor. On average, it was about 40 pounds. Goliath's, the breastplate that he wore, was 125 pounds. Probably weighed more than David did. And yet, look what happened to Goliath, you know. He had rocks in his head. Anyway. It's made of bronze or brass, and it's protected your vital organs in the front. Okay, so your heart, your liver, your kidneys, right? Your large and small intestines and such. And it also protected the back end, which is your backside, your buttocks, and your rear guard, you know, from the back. So let's look at the heart, because this is the most vulnerable part of being injured. And when you think about the heart, do you remember we talked about the heart being, there's 800 times in Scripture the word heart is used? Remember, we've talked about that before. And it's equally, in the Old and New Testament, the heart is one-third volition or will, one-third intellect, and one-third emotion. So it's equal. So when the word heart's used, it's not just all emotion. We think of it just emotion. But the whole thing with the heart is what? Fear. Right? Fear. People go like this in a B movie, you know, and they're protecting their heart because of the fear. Well, the word devil is diablos, diabolos, and it's one who strikes again and again and again until he penetrates. That's what the word means. So he's constantly striking and striking and striking until he finds what? A chink in your armor. Okay? So emotionally, mind, will, and emotions, the soul, it says, Proverbs 4:23, this is one of my favorite scripture verses, is, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the streams of life." Well, anybody here knows when you get a broken heart or when your heart gives out physically, you're gone. So, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. So, since we're looking at the word heart and the 800 times in Scripture, let's look at this whole area of where the soul is. Soul is mind, will, and emotions. Okay, so the mind is accusation. Okay, your mind is susceptible to accusation, condemnation, and guilt constantly. The enemy is bang, 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 bang. Feelings of failure. That's why we're supposed to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Not just the things that we think to take captive, but every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So that's part of their soul. Okay. Now, it's interesting, the word soul is the word that they use for kidneys. And they think that the soul in the Hebrew resided up underneath the rib cage, back where the kidneys were. That's where the soul was. So the next thing about the soul is your will. Mentally prepared to take on the enemy. You have to be mentally prepared. The attitude has everything to do with how we will perform. Attitude. And like Billy was saying, the attitude of gratitude. I mean, it's thankfulness and being thankful for things. 1 Peter 1:13, it says, gird up the loins of your mind. Isn't that interesting? Because loins, we looked at last week because of the belt of truth, protected the area of procreation. But you also have a lot of procreation up here, right? You can produce a lot of things up here. And it says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end. You need to hope to the end. And a lot of those is willfully doing that. The emotions, the mind, will, the emotions, the devil wants to react out of your raw emotions. Okay? He likes the quick kill. He doesn't like to chase around something in the Serengeti heat. He likes a quick kill. So, you can have emotionally driven thoughts so that he can play you like a hooked fish. And he loves doing that because, you know, right? Jesus said to Peter, make you fishers of men. The thing he didn't tell you that is that once you hook them, it's got to get clean, but he's the one that cleans them. See, we're trying to clean fish before we hook them. That's what our problem is a lot of times. Fear, anger, doubt, shame, guilt. He did that to Adam and Eve, and he hasn't stopped since. So he wants to hook those emotions. So here's this breastplate that's watching over both, you know, the entrails inside, the backside. So really, because it's got two pieces, it's an offensive and a defensive weapon. Okay? An offensive weapon is that they would oil it up and it'd be nice and shiny. And when all the Roman soldiers were standing in line and the sun came out, it blinded the opponent. It was like a mirror, you know. And so the sun hit it right, it would blind the opponent. So your application is his righteousness in us shines for the sun, S-O-N, and blinds the opponent, blinds the devil. Just make sure it's his righteousness, not your trying to be righteous. I remember when I worked downtown and I went to a meeting at First Interstate Bank. And my boss invited me to go. I don't know why, but I was there. And so we're sitting in the room and this vice president is like really antsy. And I knew the personnel director. I knew all the personnel directors in Portland for about 5 years, from 1985 to 1990. And this vice president points at me and he goes, why is he here? And I go, I don't know, ask him. Pointing to my boss, right? This guy didn't like me. I'm like, what is going on here, right? So I talked to the personnel director and was like, what was that about? Because this is like embarrassing, you know? And she said, well, he's having an affair with another gal that was in the room. Oh, interesting. So see, sometimes just you being there, it's not you, but it's Jesus in you. And they're reacting to that. Do you remember 1 Peter 3:15? It says, do not fear their intimidation. It says, do not fear the fear felt from them. Intimidation is a timid, right? The middle word is timid. It's a fear word. So when somebody's trying to intimidate you, they're full of fear, and they're trying to get you to buy into the fear because they're full of fear, trying to project it onto you. That was a very interesting meeting. So on the offensive, again, oiled up, shiny, brass, okay, bronze. The sun hits it, probably not here in Oregon, but at least, you know, in the areas where the Roman soldiers were, shine right back into the face of the opponent and blind them. On the defensive side, obviously, it protects from blows and slashes and smashing, warding off arrows that would want to penetrate into the heart area, bouncing off. And here's some scripture verses talking about the robes, righteousness, the Lord upholding the righteous. My soul shall be joyful in my God. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation and covered me with a robe of righteousness. Isaiah 61:10. Now you think about a robe, right? A robe covers you in the back and in the front. It's just, that's kind of their robe right there. But let me read you a little something. I've been reading this really interesting book, and it's called The Gospel According to Job, An Honest Look at Pain and Doubt from the Life of One Who Lost Everything. And this is what the little comment here says about righteousness. If God accepts us at all, he accepts us wholeheartedly, and he covers us completely with the spotless robe of righteousness. This robe of divine acceptance does not come in gray, but only in dazzling white. And one either has the robe or not. One is either righteous or wicked. And anyone who is wicked can have the status quickly amended by a trip to the cross. Isn't that good? That's what the robe of righteousness. How about this one? This is Psalm 37:17. The Lord upholds the righteous, but breaks the arms of the wicked. Wow. Breaks the arms of the wicked. And then this is Proverbs 10:30. The righteous shall never be moved. Isn't that good? So we're talking about the breastplate of righteousness. And what happens is it gives you a new source of confidence that you can pray with power and authority and boldness and not be like, well, if you would just do this, God. But think about Elijah and the boldness that he prayed, right? To have the Lord show himself in fire from heaven. Or how about Jehoshaphat? Jehoshaphat was surrounded by enemy, and they went out and they praised the Lord, you know, and the enemy was routed by one angel. If one angel can take care of 185,000 Assyrians and wipe them out, can you imagine what the host, the heavenly host, you know? And we got two-thirds, you know, Satan took a third, but we still got two-thirds. So you can imagine. How about David, when David prayed, you know, in the scriptures and just prayed with boldness? Or even prayed and said, you know, Goliath, I know who you are, but I represent the living God. Or Abraham, when Abraham prayed about Sodom and Gomorrah, right, how bold he was. If there's 50 righteous people, Lord, would you destroy it? No, I won't. 40, 30, 20, 10. Now, Abraham's probably going, let's see, Lot and his wife, his two daughters, we at least got 10. We didn't even have 10. Peter and John, right? Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you. Stand up. And he stood up. So we need to read the scriptures back to God. That's his word. Stand on the promises based on his character, not on us being a character. That's supposed to be funny. Right? Didn't you ever? I was telling some of you guys about the ticket that I got in Beaverton because I went across the railroad track, slid across it, and went through a red light. Of course, I'm rationalizing that even, see, as I'm explaining it to you. But anyway, I went to the court and stand before the judge, and my knees knocked. Have you ever had your knees knock? That's the first time ever my knees knocked. I'm like, can you imagine what Belshazzar was like the night when the hand was writing on the wall? Yeah. His knees were knocking, he messed himself, I'm telling you. And so the judge goes, did you go through the red? Yeah, I says, yeah, I did, you know. He says, well, do you have anybody that could be a character witness for you? I says, well, my wife says I'm a character. So everybody starts laughing, you know. And so he reduced the fine. Anyway, yeah. So pray these promises based on the character of God and stop being a character. This righteousness is not justifying righteousness. This is not like you get, you know, this breastplate of righteousness when you get saved. Justifying righteousness is given at the new birth. Okay? This is sanctifying righteousness. It's the moral stamina. It's the sanctification of righteousness in your life. So, let's go back to Ephesians 4:24. As I said, that's why we started that. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay? The breastplate is to protect your holiness. That's what your righteousness is. His righteousness in you produces holiness. And it's the image of God in you, the Imago Dei. Now, a lot of people think the Imago Dei is, well, the image of God. Jesus said, you know, whose image is on this coin? Caesar. We'll give to Caesar what's Caesar and give to God what's God. We don't look like God. God's a spirit. Okay? He makes us in his image. And one of those images is stamped on us is holiness. That's the image of God stamped on you, is holiness. The devil wants to rob it and counterfeit it and destroy it. And so think about this. What's the number one point of ridicule from friends after you get saved? Yeah, holy Joe, can't go out and party with us anymore, your buddies. You know, religion took all your fun away, right? You're a wet blanket. That's right. Nobody wants you around. So what do they attack? They attack the holiness. Oh, now you think you're so righteous. Well, Psalm 1, the first psalm, right? Blessed is the man who what? Does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. There's a progressively difficult, as you see this, walk, stand, and sit. There's a difficulty to get on course. If you're walking, you can very easily find another path, right? Because you're moving. And it says, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Stand in the way of sinners. So when you stand, then you have to go and start from scratch instead of you're already walking. But when you're sitting, as many of us know as we get older, it's a little more difficult to get up and start something. And that's the scoffers. Proverbs 9:8 says, don't rebuke a scoffer because it comes back on you. Ask the Lord to have mercy on them. And Psalm 85:8 says, don't return to your folly. Don't go back there. So, your faith cannot see the hope and promise of God if it looks through a foggy lens of ungodliness. And that's what this whole thing is. This whole thing, this whole breastplate is about righteousness. And you see all these scripture verses where righteousness and holiness are together. So that Imago Dei, that stamp on you, is God's holiness on you. He puts his righteousness on you in Christ. And that's what the devil wants to steal. I mean, think about it. All the things that are temptations, right? What are they? It's to steal your holiness, to steal your righteousness, so that you're just, you know, thrown under the bus. And we've always told people a point of temptation and a point of vulnerability. You can be tempted. Jesus was tempted in all things as we were, yet without sin. You can have a point of temptation, but there's no vulnerability. Or you can have a point of vulnerability, but no temptation. When those two things cross, you should have like the railroad lights going off. Ding, 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 ding. Flee, Joseph, flee. But that's what he wants to steal. He wants to steal that image stamped on the saint of God's holiness. And we can't let him have it. So, how's your breastplate doing? Is it a little not so shiny as it was before? It's got some dings in it. Remember the two things that they wanted to take off as soldiers from last week? Because it was so heavy? The helmet and the breastplate. When they would, you know, be at ease or something, they want to take those off. But then they would never know if the enemy's coming around the corner or an arrow flies through the air, you have your breastplate off, you're going to get skewered. So, God doesn't want us to take the breastplate off either. Remember back to the original armor. The armor was to be kept on, put on, keep it on. So don't give up your breastplate of righteousness, because that's what the devil wants. So, let's pray. And I would like to, like we did last week, I know it was something new, we haven't done it in a long time, is just to close your eyes and recommit to holiness. Say, Lord, I know that there's areas in my life that the enemy is trying to pick at, and he's trying to penetrate, bang, 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 bang. And it's my breastplate, and it's the holiness that you've given me. It's the righteousness in Christ. So I want to just pray right now, and just you before the Lord, just raise your hand if that's an area that needs to have a covering, that the Lord sees that, and he wants you to, you know, wants to have that repaired. Either the front side or the back side. Because it says the glory of the Lord shall be our rear guard. Isn't that something? The glory of the Lord shall be our rear guard. So he wants us to have holiness and keep it. So Father, I do pray as we're looking at this. It's not a coincidence that these scripture verses of righteousness and true holiness together, that we're supposed to watch over our heart with all diligence, for from it flow the streams of life, that the enemy wants to take the imago Dei, the image stamped on us that you put on us, that it protects our holiness. And it's your holiness in us. So Lord, if there's anybody here, as we have our eyes closed, that says, you know what, Lord, I know I need my front side and my back side covered, and it's getting a little tarnished and it's getting a little weak, strengthen it, Lord. That you just raise your hand to the Lord and just say, Lord, strengthen me. Strengthen that holiness in me. Strengthen that righteousness that you put on me. And Lord, I pray that we don't get counterfeit, which is hypocrisy. Lord, that the enemy doesn't rob it. Lord. And Father, I just remember those days when we first got saved, about how people would just say, well, are you so righteous you can't do this anymore? You can't go drinking with us. You can't do this. And all this religion took away all your fun. Lord, they don't even realize it's not fun. Waking up with a hangover, that's not fun. So we just pray right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would just take those hooks on the shoulders and hook that armor and hook that breastplate correctly, Lord, so that we're covered front and back, Lord. And so we just really pray, Lord, that our faith cannot see the hope and promises that you give us if we look through some foggy lens of ungodliness. Help us, Lord, to be recommitted to your holiness in us. And Lord, we just pray also as we just pass the baskets around, tithes and offerings, we thank you for supplying all the needs, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and pray for those who can't be with us today. Father, just bless them and let them have a wonderful week. And Lord, for us that had a really hard week, I just really pray, Lord, as we go through that, that we can keep our joy, that we can see what you're doing, Lord, that you tell us that you're strengthening us for the days ahead. And Lord, that in all things we can give you thanks and rest and know that you're in control. In Jesus' name, amen.